Well, good evening. Welcome back to church tonight. It's a good time to be in the Lord's house always, of course. But I'd rather be in God's house than anywhere I know when the doors are open. Appreciate you being here tonight, and trust you've had a wonderful week with your family and relatives, and a good time with them. All I can say to you tonight is that God is so good. He's good. No matter where you are in life, what difficulties you face, what you have to go through with, God is good. He's always been good, and He always will be good. Amen. And I have to be reminded of that, and I want to remind you of that tonight. No matter where you are tonight, God is good. He's good. He always will be. I want to thank God tonight for His love towards me and His help towards me in the last few months. Thank God for a good wife that has nurtured me and looked after me very well in the last few months. Her and I have been through a lot of things together the last few weeks and months, praying, depending upon God, and trusting God. I want to thank the church, all of you, for your prayers, your words of comfort, encouragement to me during this time I've been through. And again, to sum it all up, I can just say God is good. God is good. He's good through people. He's good through situations that you have to deal with in life. I'm just grateful tonight to be here. And you know, when you see Marty stand and sing Jesus Loves Me, it just brings chills over me. To realize He loves me. He loves you. That's an awesome thing to know, that He loves us, folks. He loves us like nobody in the world does love us. We have friends that are good. We have friends that we think care about us. And no one cares about you. No one cares about me like Jesus. That's a fact tonight. I'm just glad to be here tonight and glad that I can stand, I can walk. I'm not paralyzed. Oh, I have so much to be thankful for. I could spend the next 30 minutes just saying I'm thankful for the many things that I am. You know, I thought about this past week, Pastor. Not only to think about the things that I'm thankful for, but I'm thankful also for the things that I don't have. I don't have. I don't have heart problems that I know of. I don't have cancer that I know of. I don't have, you know, I don't have a lot of things that I could have. And I need to be thankful for those things too. Because again, the goodness of God. Take your Bibles tonight and join me in the book of Hebrews, first of all. Go read from Hebrews, and we're going to go back into the book of Genesis. You know, it's amazing how the Word of God reveals us who God is. Now, we know in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ manifests God in the flesh when He was here. But we also know throughout the Scriptures in the Old Testament, we find that people, their lives, illustrates to us who God is and what God is. Tonight we're going to look at that. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse number 17, first of all. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I want you to look at those last four words in that verse there, concerning things to come. Concerning things to come. This is a very important thing we're going to be talking about a little later on tonight. But I want to look tonight at Isaac. I want to look at the inspiration of Isaac, Abraham's son. And I want us to see tonight some things I pray that will be a blessing to you and a blessing to me. But think about the phrase, concerning things to come, as we look at the inspiration of Isaac to us tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for this opportunity to be in your house again. I thank you, dear God, that we can come together as your children, as your church. Lord, and open the Word of God. Lord, and read it and study it together. Lord, I pray tonight as we come together now, I thank you for each one this year. And I pray, dear God, the Holy Spirit would be our teacher tonight. Lord, would you reveal to us tonight what we need to know more about you? God, I just pray, Lord, you would just lead and guide tonight in everything that we say and do. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. God, may your people tonight be encouraged. Dear God, I don't know the people that are here, all of them. Lord, if there is one here that's lost, I pray somehow, Lord, you might draw that individual to Christ tonight before it's eternally too late. And we'll thank you, dear God, for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go back to the book of Genesis. We'll talk about Isaac tonight. Isaac. Genesis chapter number 18. Boy, just listen. Isn't that a pleasant sound? Amen. Reading pages turning. My, what a blessing that is. Genesis chapter 18, look at verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. These are the words of Abraham. Now notice, we find here Abraham is in the tent. Sarah is in the tent also. He's in the front of the tent. The Lord appears unto him, three men out in front of the tent. And we find when he saw these men out there, he went out to where they were and began to speak to them and to talk to them. And he bowed himself, the Bible says, towards the ground. He humbled himself because he felt like this was God meeting with him. God has something for Abraham to tell him at this time. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now we know whatever happened here, we find they were out under next to a tree, and he got water to wash their feet. He asked Sarah to make him some cake. He killed a calf that was tender. He cooked the calf. And we find that they ate the calf under the tree. You know, instead of having a pig picking, they had a cow picking, or whatever you call it. But anyway, they had a time to feast because Abraham prepared it for them. In verse number 9, and they said unto him, after they had eaten and Abraham had nourished them and all, they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah, notice, she laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now let's set the question in verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, this is a promise from God to Abraham and to Sarah, that Sarah is going to have a son. She's going to have a son. Now, notice here also, if we are going to get a blessing today, tonight, out of Isaac's life, we're going to have to realize that you must go beyond the present here, okay? Go beyond where we are. And we're going to have to look beyond this and see the complete picture of his life, why he came to begin with. And we're going to see that. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 56, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." What day did Abraham see? When Abraham looked at his son Isaac, he not only saw his son that was born, but there was a picture beyond that that Abraham saw at this time. It was things that were going to come. Things that were going to come because of Isaac's birth. Because of Isaac's birth, you see. He saw that God was going to send his son. He saw that God was going to not only send his son, but his son was going to go to Calvary. I believe by faith Abraham saw this. I also believe that Abraham saw that his son was going to get a bride one day. Abraham, God gave Abraham this sight, this vision, this insight, if you please, of what's going to take place. So when we study the life of Isaac, we must realize there's more to it than what we see at first. His life is so important in the Scriptures. We're going to talk about some of that tonight. Some things that happen may come in life are rough, aren't they? Some things that come in life are rough. Some things that are here now in life are rough. It's not easy today. Life is not like it was 25, 30, 50 years ago. It's a lot harder than it was then. But you know, I'm saved, and I hope tonight that you're saved. And if you and I are saved tonight, we can really look, it's looking good for the things that are going to come. It may not be looking good for the things that are happening today. But child of God, listen, it's looking good for the things that are going to come. What are you talking about, Keith? First of all, I believe that one day the eastern sky is going to open up. I believe the trump's going to sound. I believe the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's something that's going to come one day. And I'm looking forward to that as a child of God. Also, I'm looking forward to a reunion of people that I've known, my loved ones and families and friends that are already over there. One day I'm going to be with them. See, so we see here that it's looking good for the things that are going to come to the life of a Christian. Listen, this world is not your home. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. God has given us the things that he gives us here on this earth to enjoy while we're here. But it's only for a short time, folks. It's going to soon be over with. It's going to soon be history with us. So when we are saved, I'm looking for the things that are going to come. I'm looking for the things that are going to come in my life and in your life as God's children. We have a lot to look forward to as God's children tonight, folks. We really do. And now when we look at the things about Isaac's life, they inspire me, they encourage me because of who he is. And his purpose for his life while it's here. Listen, God has a purpose for you in this life. He created you and allowed you to become a human being. And God has a purpose for you also. Just like he did Isaac here. And we're going to look at that tonight. Now, in Genesis chapter 18, we read in verses 1 through 3 and 1 through 14. And we see here some things that took place. We see here God makes a promise. He makes a promise to Abraham and to Sarah. Now, the first thing I want to say is about God, as we look at the life of Isaac, that God's promises are unfailing. When God makes a promise, you can count on it. He never has failed. He never will fail. And God here has promised Sarah and Abraham that they're going to have a child. They're going to have a child here. Now, God promised Sarah and Abraham a son. Now, we find in chapter 16 what happened. In a weak moment in Abraham's life, we find that he listened to his wife, Sarah, and he went to Hagar, and she conceived and bore a son and called him Ishmael. And we find that Abraham stepped out of the will of God. He stepped out of the will of God at this time. And since then, we find that there's been fighting over in the Holy Land ever since, and there always will be until Jesus comes. I mean, that's the way it is. And we find here, because of that, we find it doesn't matter who's leading this country. It doesn't matter who's leading those countries over there. They're going to fight till Jesus comes down and sets up on this earth and rules and reigns during the millennial reign. And there will be peace and prosperity, but never until Jesus Christ comes. They're going to fight. They're fighting now, and they always will fight. They fight all my life that I've heard about throughout history. Look at it. So we find here that since Abraham stepped out of the will of God, this world has been paying for it. This world has been paying the price because he stepped out of the will of God, listened to his wife, and got out of the will of God. Now, I'm so glad, though. God made a promise back here in chapter 18 to Abraham and Sarah, didn't he? His promises are unfailing. Even though Abraham stepped out of the will of God, Abraham did what God said not to. God did not write Abraham off. He did not write him off. I'm so glad that whenever I fail, whenever I come short in my life, that God doesn't say, okay, Keith, that's all with you, get out of life. He forgives me when I ask him to. I'm glad for a forgiving Father, a forgiving Savior that keeps on and forgiving me whenever I do wrong. We see here that Abraham did not, God did not write him off when Abraham did this. It did not change the provision of God and the promise of God to Sarah and Abraham when he did this. If you have a promise from God, it doesn't matter the circumstances in your life. It doesn't matter the surroundings you're in. If God said it, that settles it. You can count on the promises of God in your life, and I can too. It doesn't look possible maybe sometimes. It doesn't sound reasonable sometimes. But if God said it, it is possible. We know that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible to men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Thank God for verses like that in the Scriptures. Now, God's promises are unfailing. Now, turn over to chapter 21. Now, notice what God said to Abraham over here in verse 18. Chapter 18 says, is anything too hard for God, for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But now, over in chapter 21, look at verse number 1. This is, the promises of God are unfailing. And the Lord visited who? Sarah, notice, as he had what? Said. And the Lord what? Did unto Sarah, notice, as he had spoken. The promises of God are unfailing. We see here the reality now of what's taking place here, that God has come now and visited Sarah, and he has did as he spoken to her. We find this here is going to happen. Now notice, we see here, first of all, the promises of God are unfailing. But notice here in verse number 20, chapter 21, verse number 2. For Sarah did what? She conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Notice, at the time set on which God had spoken to him. There was a time that God was going to come and God was going to help Abraham conceive and have a child. It's the time of God. It's the time of God. See, we see here a 90-year-old woman having a child. Having a child. What is that? First of all, we see that God's promises are unfailing. Now we also see, because of this took place in Sarah's life, the power of God is unlimited. The power of God is unlimited. Listen, if God came from the dust of this earth, take the dust of this earth and form a man, that's power, isn't it? That's power. If God also can bring forth His only begotten Son from a woman who never knew a man, that's power. That's power. If God, and also it's power when a 90-year-old lady can conceive and have a child. That's God's power. That's what we're talking about, His power. God's power, you see. We find this, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. We look at how big our problems are sometimes. We look sometimes at how big the storm is that's blowing our way. We look sometimes at how big the mountain is. But listen, child of God, God is bigger than anything. He's bigger than anything that could confront you and could confront me in my life. We find here God's power is unlimited. It's unlimited here. Is anything too hard from God? Whenever Isaac came into the family, we find that Ishmael, Abraham's son by Hagar, began to make fun of him. Look in chapter 21. Look at verse number 9. Ishmael began to make fun of Isaac. Now, Isaac, his name means laughs. He laughs. Now, we look back first of all at Abraham. We find when he heard the promise of God that he was going to have a son, he laughed. He laughed about it within himself. Sarah laughed also. We see both of them laugh because of this. But we find here when Isaac came into the family, we find what happened here. Look at verse 9. 21 verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham's mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now we see what a promise here it is. What happened here that Abraham told Sarah to cast him out? And Abraham did that. Abraham did that very thing, you see. Now, what does that mean to us? Before you were saved, before I was saved, the world liked you. Right? You liked the world. You go along with the world okay. I did too before I was saved. But since I've become a Christian, there's come a conflict. There's become trouble. You know, there's differences, you see, between me and the world and you and the world, you see. All of a sudden there's conflict. Now what do we see here? If you and I are going to have fellowship with Isaac and walk with him and have the joy he had, we're going to have to kick out Ishmael out of our life. Ishmael's got to go. Now, Isaac is a picture of the spiritual man. Ishmael is a picture of the fleshly man. The fleshly man has got to go in our life if we're going to enjoy the Christian life. And we see this here. You can't have joy with Isaac and fellowship with Ishmael. It doesn't work. We can't have fellowship with God and enjoy the world, folks.
That's right.
We can't do it. I mean, you can't straddle the fence. If you straddle the fence, you're going to be a miserable Christian. You know, there's no two ways, you know. And so we find this is what happened here in the life of Abraham and Sarah now. So we find here that there's always conflict going on between the two, the flesh and the spirit, always. But thank God, John says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You can stake your life on the promises of God, folks. You can count on the promises of God. You can face eternity even in the promises of God, because God's promises are true. I'm standing on the promises of God. We love that song that we sing so many times. I'm standing on the promises of God. God has promised, lo, I'm with you always, hasn't he? He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse number 20. I thank God for that promise from God's word. When I'm lying flat on my back on my bed and can't move, God is with me. When I'm standing up walking, going to work, God is with me. There's nowhere I can be that God ain't with me. He's always with me. So we find here that the promises of God are unfailing. The power of God is unlimited. God has promised joy in this journey that we're journeying as a Christian. God has also promised shelter in the storms of life that we have to face. God has promised peace in the problems and the perplexities that we have to face in this life. God has also promised deliverance from circumstances that are beyond our control. He's promised deliverance from these things in our life as we look at Abraham. Now, we notice few in the Old Testament were brought into the world with such expectation as Isaac. Few. We also see here he was to be a type of Christ. Isaac was a type of Christ. We see also that he was the seed which the Holy God had promised for a long time and holy men had expected for a long time. He was that seed. We see that Isaac was born according to the promise. Isaac was born at the set time. God had a time for Isaac to be born, just like God had a time for his son to be born, Jesus Christ. See? And we see also that Isaac was born by the power of a special promise. So was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born by the power of a special promise that he would come into this world and save the people of the world. We see here Abraham was obedient. He named Isaac. And again, I mentioned earlier how Abraham laughed with joy when he received the promise. Sarah, she laughed with distrust when she received the promise of the son was going to come. So we find here God's promises are unfailing. God's power is unlimited. Now, I want you to look over in chapter 22. Chapter 22. This is all with regards to Isaac. Things that are coming. In chapter 22, you know the story. I don't have to go into it. But just read verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, can you imagine being 100 years old and God giving you a son? And the son growing up. Now, he's a mature man now. He's not a lad. He's a mature man now. Abraham's hopes, his dreams, his plans, his future, no doubt, was wrapped up in Isaac. You men that have sons, your life is wrapped up within your children, your son. There's nothing more precious to you than your son, if you have a son. And this is what happened to Abraham. But one day God comes to Abraham and said, I want you to take him to the mountain and offer him there for a burnt offering. Now notice Abraham, what did he do? For the sake of time, we don't have time to read all these verses, but verses 3 through 6, we find that Abraham did not get mad at God. Abraham, he says, I don't understand. He did not say, I don't understand why God allows some things. But we find here that Abraham's faith, his faith now in God, first of all, is going to be tested. We're going to see, first of all, in verses 3 through 6, how Abraham, he got to the point in his life now that he had to trust God. He trusted God because he wanted to obey God. You know, sometimes even as children of God, we have to get to the point in life that we're going to have to trust God to obey Him. It may be in tithing. It may be in praying. It may be in reading. It may be in faithful to God's house. Whatever, we have to trust God, don't we? We have to trust Him, even to obey Him. And that's what happened here to Abraham. But look at verse number 3 through 6. As you look at how Abraham, he got to the place where he trusted God. And Abraham arose up in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That's very important. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. They went together. Brother Tyler, I can't imagine. It was a long ways up that mountain for Abraham and Isaac. A long ways. To know when I get top of this mountain, I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice. Pastor, I wonder what went through his mind as he traveled that trip up that mountain there to offer his son. But you know what? Abraham was at the place where he was going to trust God. He was going to trust God. God said to Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a son. He also said, now, Abraham, won't you take this son? I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham believed God. I believe Abraham, if he could trust God to give him a son, Abraham could trust God to preserve his son. He could trust God all the way. If it come to the point of giving his son to die, he would do it because he loved God. Because he loved God. He got to the point he had to trust, he trusted God. Verse 7 and 8, we find here also, not only did he get to the point he trusted God, but he got to the point that he believed God. Look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Notice, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. God, Abraham told Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. He will provide himself a lamb. That's believing God. Abraham believed God. He trusted God. And in verse number 9 through 13, we see where Abraham depended on God. Abraham is in a place now, folks, listen, that's all he can do. Is to depend upon God. Have you ever been there? Huh? Have you ever been there where all you could do is just simply depend upon God? Folks, it's not an easy place to be. But I'm going to tell you what. When the waters calm down, the winds kind of cease. It's a sweet place to be.
Yes, sir.
It's a sweet place to be when all I can do is depend upon God. And now here Abraham is in that situation. Look at verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I believe Abraham was going to do it. I really believe that with all my heart. It was in his heart to do exactly what God wanted him to do. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham depended upon God, and God provided for Abraham. He provided for himself a lamb here. Abraham was the place where he was going to depend upon God alone. He did not try to bargain. He did not try to argue with God. He just rose up and went to the place where God led him to go up on that mountain. And he took his son with him, you see. Abraham looked down through the pages of history, of life, if you please, and he could see there how God one day was going to send his son as a lamb to come and die for mankind, go to Calvary there, and also get a bride. Abraham told the men, look at verse number 5, I like this. Verse number 5, what did Abraham tell the men? Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. We're going to go and worship, and notice, and what? Come again to you. That's depending upon God. That's trusting God, isn't it? That's believing God. That's faith, folks. I trust that you and I will never get to that place. But Abraham was at this place. He was trusting God. You've heard the saying, where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he provides. Up that long mountain, God was leading Abraham and Isaac. And when he got to where God said go to, God had provided a lamb in the thicket to be the one to be the sacrifice. Yes, God may guide in the wilderness. If he does, he'll set the table before you. He may guide into a dark, your darkest hour, but he'll stand by you. He'll stand by you. In the darkest hours of your life, child of God, God will stand by you. He'll stand by you. When I was in the hospital, I was in so much pain, I didn't know what to do. Pastor, all I knew to do was call out to God and ask him to help me. You know what he did? He did. Sometimes it's in the darkest hours. You know, I ask myself this question, why is it so hard for me to trust, to believe, and to depend upon God in my life? Why is it so hard? You know? As long as I have everything under control myself, I can do this, I can do that. I have the tendency not to trust God, not to believe God, not to depend upon God. Boy, I thank God for the times that He helps us to see how much we need God in our lives. Things may be going well with you now. I hope they are. But don't forget, depend upon God. Trust God, believe God in your life, because you're going to need Him. You're going to need Him, and I am too. There's a darkness today coming to this world that man has never known. A darkness is coming over this world. I can sense it in my mind. All over this world, there's darkness. Brother was talking about tonight in the prayer room how people go wild and get mad over getting stuff and buying things in this world. I can't believe it. The pictures and all you see on TV and all of this Dark Friday, Black Friday, whatever you want to call it, people mad going to shopping like it's the last day of their life. I cannot understand that to save my life. Just to get something, get out there or whatever they call it. I don't know what they call it, but anyway. You know, it's a shame. There's a darkness coming to this world that's never known. But praise God, Jesus is coming. He's coming before darkness is settled, folks. He's coming. And we, God's children, are going to be lifted out of here. Isaac's life inspires us. And we're going to make it one day to heaven. We're going to make it to heaven. We find here the purpose last. God's purposes are undefeated. We talked about God's promises are unfailing. God's power is unlimited. God's provisions are impossible to understand. And now we're going to talk about last, God's purposes are undefeated. In chapter 22 of Genesis, verse number 7 and 8, we see here Isaac inspires us in his waiting. In his waiting. A man and his son traveling 3 days. That's probably unheard of. And he was waiting there. He was waiting there. In verse 7 and 8, the Bible says this, 22 verse 7 and 8, we read it already. Let's read it again. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering, for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together on the mountain. They waited on God, and He met their need. He met their need when they waited upon God. We also see Isaac inspires us not only in his waiting, but also in his worship. In verse number 13, we find, as they went to the mountain to worship God, God met them there, and God provided the lamb so they could worship. God provided them a lamb so they could worship him. We also see that Isaac inspires us in his wedding. Quickly over in chapter 24. In chapter 24, it's very interesting to all of you know about the wedding, how Abraham was getting old and got his servant to go out of Canaan and go to his own country to find him his son a wife. And all the guidance he's giving about how he would find the right one and he would know the lady's the right one and all that. But we find here in this wedding, verse number 24, chapter 24, verse 63. Look at verse 63. 24, verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Now, this is after this waiting period. Isaac waiting. He knows his servant is gone. As he was out in the field in the evening time, he was meditating in the field there and lifted up his eyes, and he saw, behold, the camels were coming. The camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the candle. She literally fell off the camel. She fell off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We see here Isaac inspires us in his wedding, waiting, praying for his bride to come. He looks around and sees the camels are coming. Listen, child of God, the camels are not coming, but Jesus is. He's coming. One day we're going to see the eastern sky open up. He's going to come for his children. What a glad day that's going to be. What do we see here in this tonight for us? God sent his son. Abraham was given a son also. We also see that God's son went to Calvary. Abraham took his son to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. We see also that God's son got a bride. God's son is getting himself a bride. Well, Abraham sent his servant out to get him son a bride. We're the church, we're the bride. What are we learning from this tonight? Trust God, number one. Believe God, number two. And depend upon God, number three. God's promises are unfailing. God's power is unlimited. God's provisions, child of God, are impossible sometimes to understand. And God's purposes are undefeated. God's purposes are undefeated in his life. See, it's all about God, and we see that in the life of Isaac and Abraham here, how God raised him up to be an example for you and I. I thank God tonight for men like this that God used to be an example for us. Child of God, it may be looking dark in this world, but just remember this. Jesus is coming. It's looking good for the things that are going to come. It's looking good for the things that are going to come. Jesus is coming. It's getting nearer and nearer every day. A guy asked a guy one night, he said, when do you think the Lord's going to come? He said, well, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised he hasn't already come. The stage is set. This is up to him. One day the Father's going to say to the Son, Jesus Christ, go get him. Go get the church. And what a glad day that's going to be for us to know Christ. I trust tonight you know Jesus is your Savior. If not, I pray tonight you might come to him. Jesus is coming back one day. I hope he can come for you. He wants to. He wants you to be saved tonight if you're lost. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for loving us. I thank you, dear God, for the opportunity once again to open your word. Lord, and look at the life of Isaac. And through his life, we can see and learn more about you. Lord, help us to be like Abraham, to trust you, to believe you, and to depend upon you. Dear God, I pray, Lord, you will bless these dear people this week as they go about their separate ways. God, may you provide the needs they have. God, may you encourage us as children of yours to walk closer to you every day. God, I pray, Lord, somehow, Lord, may you help us to love you more than we ever have, Lord, in our life. God, you certainly deserve our love. You deserve our praise. You deserve our life. God, help us, Lord. We don't have many days left. I believe that with all my heart. So, Lord, help us to fall in love with Jesus again. Lord, and love him more than we ever have. God, help us, Lord, to share that love with other people as we come in contact with people day after day. Lord, be with us now. Have your will and way the rest of this service, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.